You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Kinger came in and got our chances.
Does it have to be Kinger? Can't just be King.
He's a nickname guy.
King is just an easy name. It's a good name.
No, because it doesn't sound personal.
It's Kinger. What would I be?
Fatty.
You're a jerk.
Really?
Why do you do that?
You'd be Rothy.
I was fat at one point. I should urinate right on your pet.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
I don't think you'd be able to do it. With people watching, though, I think you'd get stage fright.
No, I would not.
On 98.7 ESPN.
I bet the feller on the out thought I was crazy.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour. DPHRO Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. Little observations and did it happen in Florida later this hour. Time for a little Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So are you attempting to be all in for the Rangers tonight where you watch this thing until the end?
Yeah, I'm sure I'll be. Well, I can't say I'll be up the entire time. I don't know. Just because of my schedule. Depending on how this whole traffic situation goes.
No, you're going to have traffic.
Well, no, I know.
Immense amounts of traffic.
Listen, I've done this numerous times. So I've had the point at 3, I've had the point at 4, I've had the point at 5. And there's always traffic, but there are different levels to the traffic. Sometimes
I would think
they get
the
lucky.
Point at 5, starting your journey home, by the time you get to the bridges here, you're not in terrible shape.
Well, here's the thing, though. It doesn't, like, there's been, I'll tell you what, and this is the truth, is that there's been times when I've stayed the entire time done in the crease after games and left at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning where I've hit, for some reason, more traffic.
That's got to be construction, then.
Oh, construction or an accident, you name it. Where I'm like, I can barely keep my eyes open, and I'm sitting just not moving.
So the intent heading into the game tonight is for you to go the whole way.
Yeah, intent is come home, eat something, and then get comfortable, not too comfortable, locked in. And I can't wait for this game. I mean, playoff hockey is just speed, intensity, physicality.
The hatred,
like how quickly you can hate another team is amazing.
It's amazing. See, RJ has these like weapons that he can go after people with a moment's notice. I have an amazing capacity whenever my team plays another team to hate them. Like teams I don't even mind. I don't really care for Pittsburgh, but like Giants will play the Packers in the postseason. And I actually kind of like the Packers because everything that they've done and their history and tradition and, you know, Lambeau Field and all of it. But when that game starts, hate the Packers. Like I should put it on my resume. It's one of my great strengths.
That's a long list as far as I'm concerned. I mean, honesty broker, singer.
Yeah.
Animated actor.
I do have a lot
to offer.
I'll
tell you what, if you had an ounce of like real true athletic ability.
That's not fair.
You would be a phenomenal, phenomenal teammate. Because you would be
teammate.
Well, because you could get yourself.
I could be the Robinson Cano of a team.
No, I'm not talking about being a good, you know, good locker room guy. I'm talking about like a Brad Marchand, like the guy that can just work himself into this frenzy where for some reason, like going into game one, he already hates everybody on the other team and is willing to just do just nasty things to people.
Oh, you should hear what I say. Like there'll be times I'll be sitting there watching games. Sherry's like, I can't believe you just said that.
Yeah, which is the kind. I need you in that foxhole with me because I need you to draw up that kind of hate.
You're right. I mean, a great teammate. Even if my team is wrong, I somehow conjured up in my mind that we're on the right side of the law and you're the bad guy.
Yeah, I think you'd be the definition of the guy that you love having on your team, but you'd hate to play against.
I would be the Ulf Samuelson. I'm the Ulf Samuelson of sports talk.
Like the who?
You almost said something bad there?
No, no, like the Claude Lemieux.
Yes. Yes.
I like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I need guys like that, though. Listen, I ain't going to win. I'm not going to win a Stanley Cup without guys like that. I need guys like that.
Did you hear what Bart said the other day?
I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine.
During the draft, I don't want to misquote him. Let me look it up exactly what it was. But I couldn't believe that he said this. So let's get to the Rangers, and then I'll find this Bart Scott quote, because I don't want to misquote what he said. Is it fair to say a must win game?
Yes. Well, I don't want to get K worked up into a frenzy because it's not technically a must win game, but
technically it's not. But if you go down 2-0 at home, all right. Here's what he said. And I guess this was during the draft coverage. He said, you have to have at least two people with felonies on your team. And I guess he was doing the draft with, what's the name? Is it Shea Pepler, I think it is? Is it Pepler or Pepper? I forget. And she said, what? And he goes on to say, yeah, you got to have a couple of goons. You have to have some goblins on your team.
Is that what he said?
Yes.
You need some unsavory fellows?
Yes, he said you have to have guys that have committed felonies on your team, or otherwise you're just not going to end up winning.
Wow, I don't know if that's the case, but you definitely need some rough riders on your team.
Yeah, rough riders, I think, is fair. Guys that have actually committed felonies, I don't necessarily think that's what you have to have.
No, but I think that's the common misconception. Like I used to tell you, I mean, like, and you know, when Canty was on the show, he would tell you about the football locker room, and I'd give you kind of some insight into the, you know, into the hockey locker room. And, you know, we'd have all these conversations about, you know, being a good teammate. Is this a good guy? Like, I'm telling you, like, a lot of the guys that I played with that were really good teammates, some of them were just not good guys. But
right,
they were awesome teammates.
But not felons.
No, not. I mean, right. not felons. But, they, I mean, there was some stuff that you'd question a little bit.
No,
some
I think
questionable behavior.
Yes, which I'm fine with. But felony, I think, crosses that line.
Well, I think what he means is you need guys with the mentality that aren't afraid to take it up to the line and sometimes cross the line.
Yeah, but that's not what he said.
No, I know what he said.
The quote is we have to make sure we had at least two people with a couple of felonies is the quote. So yeah.
Well, no, I mean, I think to his point though, I mean, I think you're talking about like that guy that is, you know, is willing to,
yes, to push the envelope.
Well, and maybe sometimes cross the line. For the betterment of the team.
I think that's 100% accurate. But to say that they have to have committed crimes, I think, is going a little bit far.
I wish I was listening to that live to get the reaction.
Yeah. And apparently she said she didn't know what to say.
Well, where do you go from that?
Well,
I mean, this is a guy who played in the NFL. I mean, how do you continue the conversation at that point?
Yeah. I guess she kind of pretty much bowed out and she was perplexed.
So, Bart, what do you mean by, like, what kind of felonies? Is there a certain kind of felony that you'd prefer?
No, she didn't follow. She was like, she's like, what are you saying? I guess she was actually perplexed. She's like, what are you saying? And then he repeated, and then she's like, all right, I don't know what to say.
See, but this is what scares me. I told Jay Will and Key this yesterday. That's what scares me about this 2-on-2, is that if it gets to a point now where, you know, where Jay and Key are starting to, you know, starting to embarrass them a little bit and letting them know it, I'm not sure what part we'll do.
I think there's nothing he wouldn't do.
That's what scares you.
Yeah, and I think that's a very valid take. So Rangers tonight, you expect them to win this game?
Well, I haven't won in the series, so yeah, I expect them to win this game.
So you think like a comfortable big bounce back, like,
no.
I don't think this is dicey and biting the fingernails all the way through.
Well, I don't know about that, but I don't expect anything comfortable. I mean, I just think you saw that in the last, I mean, what? 15 minutes of the second period and for the rest of the game. I mean, I told you this. They have a Sidney Crosby problem. So I'll be interested to see what they do to try to slow that line down.
Isn't it fair to say that anybody would have a Sidney Crosby problem or no?
Well, I mean, you're always going to have a Sidney Crosby problem. But that was, I mean, that's ultimately what ends up costing you that game, really, is how good his line was. I mean, they had 25 shots in the second period, Dave. Like Valley was saying yesterday, because Valley has the ClearSight Analytics, where his company breaks down every single scoring chance. He said that the expected goals in that one period was 3.66, which means they scored three but could have scored, I mean, should have by quality of chance, probably scored four. In one period.
Yeah, that's a lot of
You don't usually see that in a game.
That's a lot of chances.
That's a lot of great chances.
Yeah. And thank God Shesterkin is Shesterkin. Otherwise, you would have been run out of the building.
Exactly right. So they got to fix that. I'll be interested to see, you know, I'm sure they'll have plenty of energy with the adrenaline and everything else. They'll be ready to go. But, I mean, for Louis Domingue, I mean, to be just thrown into a situation, and I know it feels like big moment, it's the second overtime, it's, you know, it's game one, and you don't expect to go in, and I'm telling you, from personal experience, like, I actually played one of my best games on national television, one of the few national television games we played because we were bad against the Rangers. I had no idea I was playing. It was like the night before was a an anniversary dinner with my wife. I got this big, like, I didn't stop at the large Dunkin' Donut coffee. I went with, like, the gigantic Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I was dehydrated, and I went in and didn't let, I just played, didn't let up a goal, played awesome. But then all of a sudden now you're going into game two, you already know.
Now your mind gets involved.
Exactly right. And now you have the whole day to think about it. You're going through what's going to happen. That changes everything. So for the Rangers, I would say this. First 5 minutes, it needs to be exactly what the first period looked like, and you got to find a way early in this game to get one.
Because if you get one early, have that letdown. Because we've seen that from them a lot this year, where they jump all over you, they take a lead, and then they become complacent. So yes, you want to start the way you started the other day, but then you can't have a second period like you had the other day.
Well, I'm just saying. Listen, of course, I mean, in a perfect world, right? Like, I mean, you hope that carries over to the second and to the third period. What I'm saying is, as far as you obviously want to establish yourself, but if you get an early one on Domingue, don't let him get comfortable. And now all of a sudden you start, you know, he starts thinking, okay, here's one. You know what I mean? Like, what am I in for? Like, that's really important in this kind of situation. Don't let him get comfortable. The longer you go where he's making saves and feeling the puck, the more confident he gets. Because, I mean, if you lose at home to Louis Domingue, and now all of a sudden, Tristan Jarry's back for game three in Pitt. I mean,
is that the expectation that he's back game three?
Well, I mean, they only ruled him off for games one and two. So, I mean, again, who knows? Maybe if they have a 2-0 lead, they take a little bit more time. But it would be tough to get up from 2-0 at home, losing the first two at home.
Let's hear a little bit from the Rangers head coach, Gerard Gallant. How do you respond after that really tough game one?
Move on. Get ready for the next one. I mean, it was a battle last night, and we came out the short end of the stick, but it's one game, so you got to move on. You know, no big deal. We would have loved to win it, but you got to battle back and win the next one.
That's the right mentality. Now, no reason to think that we're going to make massive changes heading into game two.
Well, I'm not going to change our style of play, that's for sure. I mean, again, last night was a 6 periods of hockey. Were they better in the second half of the game? Yes. But were we dominant in the first half? Yes. So I'm not going to make big adjustments. I'm just going to try and get us to be more consistent with our game.
Now, I don't know that the Rangers were dominant in the first half. The Rangers were dominant in the first period.
First period in, what, 5 minutes of the second?
Yeah. And then it fell off a cliff quickly.
Yeah, so you had 15 minutes of the second, the third, first overtime, second overtime. I mean, that's a lot of hockey to not be carrying the play.
Yeah, it really was. Here is more from the Rangers head coach. What do you need to do better against, like you mentioned, that Crosby line?
The first 25 was real good against them, and we just give them too much room to make plays. And when you're playing against that line, they're going to make some real quick plays. They got a lot of talent. They got a lot of speed. Gensel goes to the net. They know what they're doing. They do a lot of great face-off plays. So we got to do a better job there, too. But, we'll play them hard, and play better for 60 minutes.
I think they will. I'm anxious and a little nervous, but I feel ultimately confident about the Rangers tonight.
Well, I think you should. Right, I mean, you had confidence going into the series that they would win it, so there's no reason to change that now. I mean, it took, like he just mentioned, I mean, it took 3 overtimes for you to lose that game.
And we saw teams with their back to the wall answer, right?
Oh, but that's the thing, though, man. I mean, this is playoff hockey. I know you don't play golf, but it's like when you play match play in golf. Like, I mean, you could have, you could have an 8 on the first hole and you lose the first hole. It doesn't matter. You're down one hole. That's it. You're only down one hole.
Exactly.
So you got a fresh start on the second hole.
I'm not built for this stuff, but like this playoff stuff that with all the ebbs and flows, and you win a game, you lose a game. Like we win, I'm like, oh, look at us, this is going to be great, and then we lose, and I'm despondent. Like I'm not built for this. This is not easy for me.
Well, no, I can't. I mean, it's not easy as for the players either, man. I mean, this is why it's the hardest trophy in sports to win. You got to win 16 games to get that cup.
I know, and they still need 16.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I can't even tell you the last time I used shaving cream to shave my face.
Well, firstly, we're right off on the heels of that read. I don't think you should say that. Secondly, why do you not use shaving cream? What do you use?
I just use a buzzer.
Oh. Yeah, see, then you don't have a real beard.
What do you mean I don't have a real beard?
If you can just use the buzzer, then you don't have a real beard.
No, like not the, but not like a buzzer.
You,
like the
you
hair
use
buzzer.
Like a Norelco shaver is what
no,
you're saying.
Not a shaver, a buzzer. Not the shaver, the actual buzzer.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Like when you go get your hair cut, you know they have the buzzer to cut your hair and they put the clip on it?
Yeah.
So you take the clip off of one of those and I buzz my face with that.
Oh, so you use the clippers without the clippers.
Okay, whatever you want to call it, yeah.
Yeah, but that's my point. If you don't use a straight edge, then you don't have a real beard.
Oh, you've seen my beard.
Yeah. Well, it's nice. But
what?
It's a nice looking beard. I just don't think it's as manly as other beards.
Well, where would you, okay, so let's just say that you have the most manly beard. I mean, I have to be above Don, though.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, it actually looks like Don has pasted that thing on. Does it not? Am I wrong? I say that, you laugh. Do you not feel like maybe Don has taken some kind of a... You remember when Cliff Clavin, I don't know if you remember this, on Cheers, they did a beard growing contest, and he showed up, and they're like, well, that's a beautiful beard. They tried to pull it, and they're like, we can't even take it off. Clearly, you win. And then after, he's like, yeah, I use this crazy adhesive. I don't know how to get this off. I feel like that's what Don has done.
I like Don with the goatee.
Yes.
I think the goatee is the look.
I agree. Don with the goatee is a much, much better look than Don with the beard. All right. So let's get into this Ben Simmons story. For everyone that said, you know, maybe it's not legit, maybe there's some fake back issues, whatever. At least I guess there's something in there.
No, don't start that. No, I mean, everyone knew. I mean, it's something he's dealt with in the past. Like, everyone knew that he had a herniated disc. That's the reason why he got the epidural.
Now we need surgery.
Okay, but he was always going to need surgery, though. That was the point. And I think that's why they were surprised that he didn't play. Like, listen, we know, like, that, you know, worst case scenario is, you know, you try, you can't do it, and we address it with surgery. But we're going to address it with surgery because we can't have this happen again. So go play. See it. You know, see how bad it is.
You're not going to do any irreparable damage. Nothing
we're gonna
terrible is going to happen.
Yeah, like, we're going to fix it anyway. We'll take care of it. Just let's see see if he can get out there and help us.
So I guess he's going to undergo the surgery. I think I saw today.
Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, and then 3 to 4 months. So what are we? We're talking all of May, June, July, August. So, I mean, your guess is as good as mine when we see him in a Nets uniform.
Oh, it's got to be to start the season. What do you mean if and when? By that time, he should be ready to go.
Oh, I think I have real reservations that he ever plays for Brooklyn.
Wow. I mean, if that's the case, and I know things don't look, I mean, they currently don't look great in Philly, but So what are you saying? That he's just not going to play and they're going to pay him, or they're going to trade him?
No, I think he's going to be traded. I have one for you. You want one?
I think you've given me this one before, but yeah.
I'll give it to you off the air. I'll give it to you on the air right now.
What, Utah?
Rudy Gobert for Ben Simmons.
So you're telling me I'm going to have Rudy Gobert and Evan Fournier in the same city?
Yes. But tell me that Rudy Gobert wouldn't be a nice fit on that Nets team.
Well, I think he would. But I also think, I mean, and you saw it in the series. I mean, Rudy Gobert is as good as he is. And in Utah, they funnel everything to Rudy Gobert. I mean, he's like, good luck, Rudy Gobert, trying to, you know, try to defend the corner three, because he can't do it.
He cannot do it. That's correct. He's a you know, one-on-one defender under the rim, good rebounder, good shot blocker. But they don't even
have
that.
Doesn't have a great offensive game. Yeah, but you want to create space, though, too. Like, offensively, Brooklyn wants to create space. Here's the thing, though, and I thought this was funny when I read it, is that, you know, in the near future, Rudy Gobert is going to demand that either he's traded or Donovan Mitchell is traded.
Right. Who are you? You're Rudy.
Settle down, Rudy. Rudy, settle down. I think that's an easy decision for Utah.
Yeah. So, I mean, tell me, that's not an awful suggestion, though.
No, I don't think it's an awful suggestion. I don't.
Because I think for my money, I think Ben Simmons needs to go to a place where he's not going to be, like, they're going to love him, right? Whether you're great, whether you're awful, if you have moments. Like Utah, to me, feels very college town-esque.
Where like, Oklahoma City.
We're not going to run you through the ringer here.
Like, Oklahoma City would be great.
Yes.
Like, if they say, like, if the paper prints something nasty, they immediately take it back and
retract
apologize.
Retract that. Yes. Burn all those papers and retract that.
Yeah, man. I mean, that for me is the biggest hurdle for him, is the whole mental aspect of this thing. So, I mean, if he can get the back straightened out, which the surgery will do, and then the physical therapy and everything else,
And it's not major surgery, right? I've actually had two microdiscectomies. It's really not a major surgery.
I mean, you were doing the show from bed the next day, right?
Not that quickly, but I was doing the show within a couple days, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying you could have. You're all drugged up. Like, we don't want you on the air saying crazy stuff.
Right. But, I mean, like, you're up and walking. That's when I had to have the catheter inserted after that surgery.
I said no to that. They tried to get one of those of me. They gave me, like, the let's check your, you know, pressure in your bladder. I said, no, we're not doing this.
But they were concerned about my bladder exploding. I had no choice.
Yeah, but that's what happened. Yeah, unless you can pee.
Yeah, they would. I was supposed to leave. They're like, you can't leave the hospital till you pee. And I was on the toilet. I was like, I can't pee. I can't. And they're like, then you can't go.
Oh.
You can't leave. And then, like, hours later, they're like, all right, did you pee? I'm like, no. They're like, keep drinking water. It's filling up. Finally, they're like, all right, we need to put the catheter in. Catheter, way worse than the surgery.
Oh, my goodness.
It pains
I can't
you to,
even.
Oh, terrible.
I was listening to Howard Stern one. This was a while back. And I guess Johnny Knoxville tried to do a stunt where he did a backflip on a bicycle, like a BMX bike. He tried to do a backflip.
Uh-huh.
And obviously he didn't. I mean, he has no business trying to backflip. And he ended up destroying his area. Like, to the point where he had to give himself.
Like, he crushed it?
He did something to it where they were afraid, like, that if he broke it, that the scar tissue could develop. So he had to, like, each day give himself a catheter.
What?
Yes.
You had to self-catheterize?
Yes, to make sure that there was no scar tissue that built up. I was like, oh, my goodness, man. I don't know if I could ever do something like that.
So do you think it's crazy to make a statement that I never think we'll see Ben Simmons play with the Nets?
I don't think it's crazy.
So you think we'll see him play with Brooklyn?
I think that's best case scenario for Brooklyn if he can actually figure this whole mental thing out in play. I mean, let's not forget. Like, let's go back. I know we haven't seen him play in a while. And last time we saw him play, it wasn't a great look. But I mean, the guy is one of the best defensive players in the league.
I almost can't even remember at this point.
Well, I know he can't shoot, but he can handle the ball. He's a good playmaker.
Very good.
He gets out in transition. So there's a lot of positives. Like, there's a lot of things he does, and you would imagine, like, I mean, being the third option, that eliminates a lot of the pressure. But I understand. I mean, it's a team that's expected. I mean, if this team doesn't find a way to win a championship here, it's going to be a failure, this whole experiment.
He eliminates a lot of the pressure, and there is also a ton of pressure on this Brooklyn team. A ton.
Yeah, so maybe for him, like, out of sight, out of mind is probably better just for his mentals. But
they just failed tremendously this season.
They just got swept. They're the only team that got swept.
Yeah, right. They just failed tremendously.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
If it wasn't that good, we wouldn't do it. But it's that good. So, again, all you do, and it's so simple. Like a moron could use this thing appropriately. You go to the App Store. You type in ESPN New York. It pops right up. You download it. You open it. You play it. Now you get the benefits. You take us everywhere on the ESPN New York app. Get all your favorite 98.7 ESPN radio shows, all the play-by-play streaming live. So you get the Rangers live wherever you go tonight on the all-new ESPN New York app, available right now on the App Store and Google Play. 1-800-919-3776. I'm sure you don't like it because you don't like looking towards next year's draft, but you know what drops right at 7 o'clock today?
It's gonna be next year's mock draft.
That's right. Todd McShay has next year's mock draft dropping at 7 o'clock this morning.
I give them tons of credit because I mean, if they asked me to do a mock draft period, let alone three or four leading
you
up to the draft,
you didn't want to do a mock draft the day of the draft.
Well, I did, and I won, but I mean, that's besides the point.
Oh, by the way,
what?
The gift basket, Ray, was it great?
He hasn't decided whether or not he wants the gift basket yet, you jerk.
All right, Ray, can you decide?
I thought we established that I would go with the option that Rick presented of.
He wants the cash.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I don't understand how this happens. The bet was if you lose, you have to send him a gift basket. Now, all of a sudden, you're both adjusting this thing on the fly?
I mean, it's the same value, no?
Yeah, exactly right. He doesn't want the gift basket.
This is more useful.
He doesn't want.
He does not want to eat
luxury
candy. He's trying to get himself back in shape.
We have established that now that I'm working less at night, I'm still working with the Rangers, but I've got to stop eating terrible food, and I've got to get back on track, and it's probably a better use of Rick's resources to send me something else. He
like
offered
money.
Cash,
so
and
you,
I'll take
you,
it.
You just want cash.
Listen, that wasn't my suggestion. That was his.
Well, I think it's a nice suggestion.
The only way that I find this bet to be satisfied is if you send him a basket wrapped in cellophane with cash in it.
No.
And then at least he's received a gift basket.
Well, listen, I'm not going to ask him to put cash in the mail. That's not going to happen. But he could put whatever the gift is. If it's
I'm
in
already
a basket,
sending,
it qualifies.
I'm already sending suspicious amounts of whipped cream to to Mel. And now all of a sudden I'm going to go in.
Yeah, wiretaps going on.
Yeah, exactly right. What's in the box? Oh, it's a basket of cash.
Yeah, the narcs are going to be knocking at Rick's door soon.
How much cash are you going to send the guy?
I don't know. I'll think about it. I mean, he knows how important he is to me. We'll see.
Wow.
And did you like the open this morning?
Did I?
Yeah, did you like it?
Loved it.
All right, that's 65% Raymond Santiago's work.
You said he didn't remember it was Thursday when you...
Well, that's fine. Yeah, once I reminded him, he was boom.
Ray, what day did you think today was?
I didn't think that any day was any day. I thought it was, all right, we're here for work.
You didn't think it was any day.
I'm here for work. I had the both positions in queue so I could hear both of you. Fortunately, when Rick says hello, I was there. Like, he said, hey, what's up, kid? And then I was like, oh, yeah, it's Thursday. We have to do an open. Uh-huh. And we moved on. That was all.
All right, good.
It really doesn't matter what he does for the rest of the week. The one text message he had in the group text chain was his greatest work ever.
Who?
Santiago had the greatest,
you know, the
his,
you know,
his
the
greatest work ever in the history of the text chain.
It can't I'd be repeated
go,
on air, but
I'd have to go back.
It was terrific.
It was that good?
Oh, it was terrific.
All right. Joe Shane, tell me you don't like the sound of this guy.
Of course I do.
You can't say that.
I can't. Why would I say it? I'd be lying if I said it.
He sounds exactly like what the Giants need and have needed.
Like someone
competent? Yes, someone competent and capable.
Joe Skihoang.
And by the way, and this doesn't. I need. This is like a never forget kind of situation. Clearly, the best cornerback on this team is James Bradbury. Yes.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to keep him because they have no money to keep him, and they don't want to, you know, put money down the road so that they're in financial turmoil in the future yet again. So you can thank Dave Gettleman for that. It's like a parting gift when you have to release James Bradbury later this week.
He's the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh, it is brutal. I mean, I don't even think you realize it. I heard Donnie say it yesterday. Like, Maccagnan was awful, but didn't leave the Jets in this kind of financial turmoil that Gettleman left the Giants in. Awful.
No, I mean, listen, I mean, usually when you're in the kind of, you know, cap hell the Giants were in, you're actually a good team. Or you have won something.
Right, like this is what the Rams should do.
Yeah, well, this is, a, yeah, I mean, at the very
Chiefs,
least, I mean,
Bills.
You're, well, yeah, like you're a team that's gone all in. And listen, maybe you won a Super Bowl, maybe you didn't, but you're in the, you know, AFC Championship game or the NFC Championship game. Playoffs maybe would be nice. Not have the worst, I mean, not have the worst record in the NFL over the last 5 years.
Yeah, that's how inept he was. Like, I don't think we discussed it enough how inept this guy was.
No, he was bad, and I don't think he was given much help from ownership either. With, well, when and how he took the job.
You say that, but the free agency sign was awful. Awful.
No, I know, but if it, like, here's my point though. Like, if Ben McAdoo was beating the drum for Patrick Mahomes because he felt like Eli was just about done.
Right.
And then all of a sudden Gettleman gets the job because he knows how the Giants like to do business. And with the second overall pick, we're going to take Saquon Barkley because we want to go one more time with Eli Manning. I mean, that's a problem. That's where it starts.
Fair, but you didn't have to take Barkley. Like, there's no way the Giants ownership said you have to take the running back.
Well, listen, man, I don't know, because he fits, like, I mean, like, and again, this is why I think people have a hard time, you know, listening when someone says, you know, taking Saquon with the second overall pick was a bad pick, because he's such a good guy. Like, he's everything you would want. Just not with the second overall pick.
Except you don't want a running back second. And let's be fair. It's been years since he's been a really good player.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, again, like, awesome guy, tons of talent. But, I mean, your biggest fear with taking a running back with a pick like that is it's just the wear and tear of the position. Like, how long will he, you know, how long will he last? And unfortunately for Saquon, it's like, I mean, the guy just, it's every single year he gets hurt.
Every year.
He hasn't been able to stay healthy.
No, he's been here, what, 4 years, and three of the four he's gotten hurt?
Well, yeah, and one of those being a major
knee injury. Well, one of the years he didn't play at all. Last year was recovery. The year before, he was hurt nonstop, and his rookie year, he was sensational.
So that's the thing, though, man. I mean, how many, and what happens is when you draft a running back with that high of a pick is all of a sudden, you know, the running back is good, and then, you know, you feel like, I mean, you have no choice but to sign up to this long term, you know, to
look
a long
term. Cowboys with Elliott.
Well, Cowboys with Elliott. I mean, McCaffrey in Carolina. This is what happens.
The only one that feels like it's played out well for the team is Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry.
Right?
And he got hurt last year.
Let's take a listen to a little Joe Shane before we jump into Nobservations. Is there enough talent here to assess Daniel Jones?
Yes, I think so. And that was the goal. There have been, when I came in, injuries were something that we were looking at, you know, trying to find the why, you know, the past couple of years that there have been a lot of injuries. So it wasn't just, hey, let's get, you know, really good starting five offensive line. It's like, hey, we need to create some depth and competition as well. So between that, Kadarius missed some games last year. You know, he was injured. Shep's coming off an Achilles. You know, Slayton's going into the final year of a deal. He's a UFA. You know, and Galladay obviously just signed his deal last year. So, you know, you got to look big picture and down the line, too, of, you know, who's going to be available and what's the roster going to look like, you know, a couple years from now. So I do think there's some weapons. Again, we were a little bit handcuffed in free agency in terms of what we could do financially. So this was our opportunity to continue to add, you know, frontline players along with depth players. So, you know, Saquon, another year off of the injury, you know, a few tight ends. So I do think there's some weapons there, you know, we can definitely be competitive.
It was funny. I heard him talk about Wandale Robinson. They said, you know, it feels kind of redundant to Kadarius Toney. He said, maybe so, but he got 100 catches last year, and he's a tremendous weapon, and you can never have too many of those guys.
Well, no, I don't think it's – listen, I don't think the questions about Wandale Robinson had to do with him as a player. Right? I mean, he's got the production. I mean, if you didn't know who he was, then, you know, once they drafted him, you watched this, you know, some of the stuff he's capable of doing. I mean, he's an exciting player to watch. I just think when you looked at what went after him, and for me, Trey McBride was, I know that's a guy you liked a lot, and that was a position of need for you, was tight end.
Well, they because the kid, I don't know if he's going to be Trey McBride, but they took the kid from San Diego State they really like.
No, I understand that. But, I mean, what I'm saying is that the players that went behind, that went after Wandale Robinson, when you already have Kadarius Toney.
Yes.
Seemed like potentially
Sky
better
Moore,
fits.
Sky Moore, right?
Yeah, the guys like that. The kid Pierce, there were some names there.
Yeah. So, well, listen, you will look at Wandale Robinson, and you will look at the guys that went after him, and you will compare and contrast.
That'll well, be, here's the other thing, though.
The fun exercise to do.
Okay, but here's the other thing, though. Remember, and I think you mentioned this at the time, is that Kadarius Toney is not Joe Shane's guy or Brian Daboll's guy. So
nope.
if you like the skill set, now you've had a chance, because it seems like, which I really like, is that any of these prospects that they were interested in, they actually spent a lot of time getting to know the guys, having dinner and everything else, that, okay, this is my kind of guy. So if things don't work out with Kadarius Toney and we have to move on from him because we didn't draft him, and we don't necessarily like everything that comes along with Kadarius Toney, that we feel good moving him because we got Wandale Robinson that will fill that spot.
That is correct. And again, I don't know what Kenny Golladay is going to be, but you look at the Giants' weapon. The offensive line is clearly better. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be 100% fixed. I hope so, but it's clearly better. Right, they have 9 new pieces. You have a right tackle. Did you see what Saquon said about Evan Neal the other day? Did you see that?
I didn't see it, but I'm sure it's some kind of glowing endorsement.
I guess they had him in, and I guess Saquon didn't know who he was. Like he walked into the locker room and he was in, and I guess I don't know what he was wearing, but I guess he saw the massiveness of Evan Neal, and he's like, "Who is that?" And they said that's Evan Neal. He's like, "Get me that!" Like, he's just a physical enormity. So you add him at right tackle, but you look at the weapons the Giants have. Golladay has to be better, right? Shepard is now back. The offensive line.
I mean, Shepard's coming off an Achilles too now.
Well, the expectation is he's
going to be
healthy.
And you didn't jump down Joe Shane's throat when he called him Shep.
I didn't hear. He said that in that soundbite we just played?
Yeah, Shep.
Well, Shep is shortening.
What's the difference?
Well, because you're expanding. The whole point is you're trying to make it shorter and easier to say.
No, you're trying to personalize it. It's my guy. That's Kinger.
You know what makes it personal? Saying the name makes it personal.
No.
If I say the guy that came in the seventh inning, that's not personal. Once you establish the name, now it's personal. I don't need some cute nickname with every player on my roster.
Every guy in the locker room has a nickname.
That's in the locker room. That's fine.
I love this Evan Neal kid, too, by the way. Just found out his birthday, same day as me. Love him.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So you're one of those that if they share your birthday, you're a big fan?
No, not really. I like him. I think he's a good player.
He's going to be a good player.
And he's a physical specimen, man. I mean, at his size, first of all, he's 6'7". And then have you seen what he looks like without a shirt? Like as much as he weighs.
He's like 360.
Dude, 360. But you see how, I mean, you would never know he was, like, the way he carries the 360 is... You don't usually see it carried like that.
No, very rare. One more, and then we'll get... No, you know what? Why don't we hear more from Joe Shane in the 7 o'clock hour? Because I don't want RJ to have no time and then bring out some of the nasty things that he has under the hood over there. So
all
now,
these extra branches he has.
Now, you said it. I'm never messing with that guy again. Ever, ever, ever again. So now let's go to a little observation.
If you say something like this...
That's a clown question, bro.
Or like this...
My best advice to you?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Those are the ramblings of what we refer to as a knob.
Yeah, let's go testy and then knob.
And these are Knobservations.
Brought to you by Jack Pocket. And we'll play some Joe Shane, Dave, a little bit. Just for you.
Thank you.
You're nervous, aren't you? I've scared you a little.
Well, I am nervous about what you might do overall. I'm not nervous about the Joe Shane audio, though.
Overall, no. No, never any. Well, I mean, who could I harm? Look at me. As you guys have noted, due to my size.
Yeah, but you use words as weapons and just attack us verbally. I find scary.
Yeah, you have information that I don't...
That part's true. That part's
true. You're like Tyrion Lannister. I could be on the toilet, then all of a sudden I'm dead.
It all happens that quickly.
See, another.
And I think you've killed a man.
No. I think you could kill a man.
I think I could, too.
That's troubling. We're going to move on. That was just a rhetorical me just asking the same question.
No, I couldn't.
Okay. That's what I do. There you go. I drink, and I know things.
See, another subtle shot by Rick, but we're going to move on. So, you remember a couple of weeks ago when...
Yep.
You don't even know what I'm going to say.
Oh, but I do remember a couple weeks ago.
When Jerry Jones, who was in a car accident reportedly, I hope he's doing okay. So, showed the teams some of their draft rankings.
Let me put it like this. We have both of them. This was printed 3 days ago below him. both of those players are below him. Can you see that?
Don't show him, man.
Oh, Jerry. You're so funny.
Some great media laughter. So, the nice people at The Athletic, did you see this? They enlarged and enhanced the photo. You knew somebody would. And they got 34 of what appeared to be the top 39 names on their list. Did you see the first two names, Dave?
I heard it was the two that the Giants took in the draft.
That is exactly what happened. Kayvon and Mr. Evan Neal. And Joe Shane was on the K show. He was asked about it.
Will McClay is a good buddy of mine. You know, he's in charge of their personnel department over there in the draft and does a really good job. So I hope he was right.
Seems like a nice way of saying, yeah, my buddy Will, he deals with a lot over there.
Yeah, he's got a full plate with the Cowboys.
So you should feel good about that.
Such a joy rooting for this team sometimes.
Well, at least they're transparent, Raymond.
Very, very transparent.
We haven't touched on this yet, but I'm guessing you guys have thoughts. Ryan Tannehill, as I'm sure many have heard by now, a couple of days ago made news when he was asked about the team drafting Malik Willis, and he said this.
Texted Malik right after we drafted him as well. Wasn't informed of that beforehand. Same thing with AJ, right? The team's going to do the best thing they think is best interest of the team. And, you know, I have no problem with Malik. And we're competing against each other. We're, you know, watching the same tape. We're doing the same drills. I don't think it's my job to mentor him. But, you know, if he learns from me along the way, then that's a great thing.
So before you react, I didn't know this before this week, but Ryan Tannehill also said that he had to get therapy after their loss to the Bengals in the playoffs, said he didn't sleep for weeks. He was in a dark place. Took him weeks to get out of that space and talking to a lot of people. But having said all of that, any problem with what Tannehill said?
Well, you go ahead. You start this.
Well, first of all, Tennessee has no respect for him at all. None. Like, didn't even pick up the phone to say, hey, by the way, just so you know, A.J. Brown, your best wide receiver. We're going to trade him, and then on top of that, we're going to take Malik Willis. Knowing that there's a potential out after this season with you, and then you're a free agent in 2 years, which would line up perfectly with a developmental quarterback. I can understand why he'd be frustrated with that, but as far as, like, you don't need to tell everybody that you're not going to be, you don't need to go out of your way to be Malik Willis's mentor. You go play, do what you do, and then the kid will, I mean, if he's smart, will pay attention and be a sponge when he's around you.
And Dave, I guess I'll transition, because I have a question about this too. What is the cutoff? When do you, if you're going to draft a guy, what is the cutoff of round where you need to let the incumbent know out of respect? You take a guy in the fifth round, you got to call that in?
No, I you know what? I think it's the magnitude of the player.
You do if you're Washington, apparently.
Right? Like Malik Willis there was conjecture he was going to go six.
Right.
So there's a thought.
There was a mock draft that had him going second.
Yeah, there was a real speculation that he was going to be an elite player, and I think there still is that some people think he's going to be a star in this league. So when you draft a guy that is clearly the heir apparent to the throne, I think maybe that phone call should be made, right? If you drafted, you know, some kid out of Colorado State in round five, nobody cares about that. But when the guy attends the draft, maybe you should make that phone call.
It would be nice.
Sounds like Ryan Tannehill. That's a guy that's actually fearful of getting his job taken. Because if you're not worried about it, then you're kind of like, it'd be nice to know. But
let me ask you a question, though, RJ, with where this team finished last year, if you're Tennessee, wouldn't you be thinking about trying to upgrade that position?
100%. Especially, the numbers without A.J. Brown last year. That's the one I'd be more annoyed about.
They were 11-2 with A.J. Brown. 11-2.
Yep.
And he was awful. Awful in that playoff game.
Yeah, not great. So, Draymond Green caught an elbow from Xavier Tillman on Memphis, and Grizzlies fans were booing Draymond relentlessly. He responded to Grizzly fans, and I think we can all appreciate this.
If you're going to boo somebody who get elbowed in the eye and face running on blood, you should get flipped off. So I'll take the fine. I'll go do an appearance and make up the money. But it felt really good to flip him off. You're going to boo someone that get elbowed in the eye and blood running down your face? I could have had a concussion or anything. So if they're gonna be that nasty, I can be nasty too. And I'm assuming the cheers was because they know I'll get fine. Great, I make $25 million a year. I should be just fine.
I respect the honesty.
Goodness. I'll just have an appearance and make that money right up.
He's not lying.
That's what you guys do.
He's not lying. He signed a deal with TNT. Does his podcast.
Plus, he makes $25 million.
Yeah. So, I mean, the $25,000 fine. I just don't like the... I mean, this... Like, we're at a point now where it's just too much, man. Like, this is... Like, between... Now, because, you know, of the pandemic, or the pandy, as some would call it, with the, you know, the Zoom interviews and everything else post-game, and it's like just everyone swearing in the post-game, and now you got guys flicking, you know, flipping people off, and it's just...
You got to tell me, though. I bet there was a... I mean, you're a classy guy. You wouldn't do it. I mean, you're not as crass, maybe. I'm sure you wanted to give some fans the bird a couple times.
No, I would give them the verbal bird quite a bit, but that was usually where I was... Like, if I was backing up, like, I would spar occasionally with fans, but...
Yeah, you could poop right on them.
See, I appreciate that. It's a two-way street with athletes. If you're going to sit that low, it's not a in a
no,
in a
but it's but RJ, it's a bad look though, man.
Yeah,
like,
it is
and
a bad
I
look.
Get it. Like athletes, listen, you're your own person, right? So in the moment, you want to do it. It felt good, whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, the fact of the matter is that kids watching the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, they see all of this and they copy all of it.
Oh yeah.
Like I see it every day coaching young kids, coaching new sports.
Yes.
They gave you the bird?
100%.
Well, no, but from what they wear to how they flip a bat to kids are obsessed. Like most kids are obsessed with all like the things that come along. Like for example, like last night the kid's pitching, like he'll takes off his hat, wipes his head because he's sweating, then licks his fingers like they do. Like they do all the same kind of like all the little idiosyncrasies that the Major League Baseball players do. They're all trying to copy them.
There's a kid on Ben's baseball team. And the umpire's like, that was a balk. And the dad's like, no, that was the Nestor Cortez hesitation move is what he was just doing there.
Is the time of these games also like 3 hours?
Last night was
that took a long time. I will say this. Kyrie Irving just responding because you're being berated. I have a major problem with that. Draymond Green was hurt. He has blood dripping down his face. And you're going to rag a guy for that? I don't know. I think that crosses a line more than just
getting on a player. Okay, but hold on. I mean, this is an accumulation of things that happened to. Let's not forget what happened in game one either, when he got the flagrant two and got kicked out. Right? I mean, that's part of it, too.
You're not wrong. I'm just saying, like the fans take it so far that now you're gonna applaud and be excited by injury. I think that goes way too far.
A man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
Man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
Why are you naked? By the way, just on that the last story, did you see what Draymond did right after he got tossed, the flagrant two in game one? Podcast that night.
In his hotel room, yeah.
That night on the volume. That's how we are. That's how it is now.
We had a guy on our team that used to bring a mixing board on the road and just try to make his own music.
His own music?
Did he get you fired up before games?
He was the same guy that were in the locker room for like a serious team meeting. And the coach was going around the room like asking guys to speak. And he pointed to this one guy and goes, what do you think? He goes, well, actually, funny you ask, coach. I was reading my horoscope this morning. And it said we were in for some good things today.
Nice.
Did good things happen?
No.
That's what I got in my fortune cookie, coach.
I love fortune cookies. All right. So we've all been in a situation, right, where you're following the GPS in the car. It doesn't make a ton of sense. Maybe not the shortest route, but you trust the system, right? You're just following along. So we have this 26-year-old woman who's in the situation. Doesn't quite make sense. You know, left here, right there. Where does she end up? She drives her SUV through a police pedestrian plaza and down a flight of stairs.
Oh, no.
In a parking garage.
Oh,
the pedestrian portion.
She trusts Waze like nobody's business.
Gets stuck in the stairwell because she thought it was a ramp. And the police officers come outside. And I think this will shock you. Find out she was under the influence and promptly arrest her. It's a short commute back to a police office. Nobody was hurt, I should mention.
Nobody hurt.
So I ask you, did this happen in Florida?
That's a lot of trust.
Stairs.
That right there is a lot of trust.
Right. See, it didn't say take this flight of stairs.
And she said that after in the questioning. You know, what are you thinking here? Well, this is where my GPS took me.
But it did tell me to go that way.
That's commitment.
You come up to a stairwell You're like, see, I don't know if this is right, but it does say to go down the stairs.
According to the report, it said she thought it was a steep ramp. She could not see the decline.
Well, listen, Waze says that this is the quickest route.
Yeah, so who might argue with Waze? There also might be Dunkin' Donuts down here. Oh, boy. You might get me here.
I wish I had that amount of trust in somebody that she has.
How dare you, Santiago? How dare you?
I'm going to say no, but it's like a 51-49 no. So right. don't follow me just to follow me here.
All right.
No, I'm not going to follow you down the flight of stairs, I'll tell you that. My initial feeling was not Florida. And because I've seen what you're doing here. This is one of your branches that you're going to try to trick us and embarrass us. I'll go with my gut, and I will say not Florida.
Okay, and Ray.
You know why I feel it's not Florida? Just because she ended up going downstairs, and I don't know if parking garages really go underground in Florida. So I'll say
the rationale behind that answer?
No, because I'm thinking about it. Like how often do things go underground? In Florida.
Well, why does it have to be underground?
Well, what she went.
What are you?
She went down the stairs.
Ninja Turtles?
She went down the stairs.
What? Hey, Michelangelo. Well, yeah, but downstairs. But it can be an above. It can be an above ground.
Well, not in his mind.
Parking structure.
Not in his mind. By the way, RJ's going to have palpitations in a second.
Well, if you're
Michelangelo's
berate the poor guy.
I love Michelangelo.
My favorite Ninja Turtle. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the best.
Dave, before he yells at me for being late on the clock, good job, Dave, trusting the 51. Not Florida, and I think this will shock you, Portland, Maine.
Oh.
Portland, Maine.
Yeah, not too far from here, but in the Northeast. That is
Birth State.
What do you mean not too far from here?
In the Northeast, I said.
It's in the Northeast. It's a quick, like, eight-hour drive.
Yeah, it's only 8 hours away.
No big deal.
That, Raleigh, right around the corner.
Listen.
just past Buffalo.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.